This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana, and thanks for listening to WRKF. Your number is 877-217-5757, and we enjoy your emails at talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with the intrepid investigative reporter in the Beltway, Dan Moldea, a man who changed the political trajectory of not only Louisianians Bob Livingston and David Vitter, but also of former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. Dan is, for good reason, considered one of the top investigative reporters in this great country of ours. And right now, there are many people on the Trump beat. And yesterday was an amazing day with the president in North Vietnam negotiating what turned out to be a no-go deal with the leader of North Korea on nuclear disarmament. And in Washington, Michael Cohen, the president's fixer and former lawyer, was center stage, a man who is an admitted liar who's going to jail for his misdeeds. He had harsh words to say about Donald John Trump. A flurry of volatile headlines in today's New York Times in the Nicholas Kristof column, a racist, a con man, a cheat. Nixon was bad, but the president portrayed that Michael Cohen portrayed is far worse, writes Kristof. Dan Moldea, how did you see the testimony?
Well, first of all, hi, Jim. Always a pleasure to be with you. I just sort of felt that the dishonest but repentant Michael Cohen just didn't take down the dishonest and defiant Donald Trump yesterday. But I think he set the stage for Robert Mueller and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York to do so. I mean, I'm looking at Trump right now as being Custer in the basin in the valley of the Little Bighorn right now, where he is surrounded on the ridge by Mueller and his fabulous team of RICO-trained, hardened mafia prosecutors. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, the state's attorney general for New York State, and Nancy Pelosi's House Democrats in the three committees, Oversight, Intelligence, and Judiciary. Plus you have Trump, who's just reckless in his attacks on the intelligence community, the law enforcement community, you know, the New York Times, the Washington Post, the mainstream media in general. You just don't survive that. I think that all of this could end very suddenly, and I think that this is just not something that one person can withstand. I think this person is clearly unfit for office. I think that's proven. The Republicans are disgracing themselves as they did yesterday before the committee, where they never questioned anything about Trump. All they did was go after Cohen about his previous lies, which he had already admitted. Cohen didn't bring down Trump yesterday, but he set the stage for Mueller and the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, which either one of those entities could do it, and could do it very suddenly.
All right. Well, we'd like to hear from you, if you're so inclined, by email or by telephone, 877-217-5757. A recent poll shows the president's approval rating in Louisiana is much lower than it was when he was elected in 2016. 49% positive, 45% negative for Donald Trump.
Really? That's shocking.
In Louisiana, yeah. But the congressional delegation is largely behind him, and all but one member is a Republican. As Dan noted, the Republicans rallied behind the president yesterday, and Nicholas Kristof writes, they argued that we should not believe Cohen because he is a proven liar. But if a proven liar should not be believed, why do these same Republicans, writes Kristof, believe President Trump? After all, Trump has made 8,718 false or misleading statements since taking office, according to the Washington Post. It appears that those who like the president are going to back him to the bitter end or to reelection, whichever comes first.
The amazing thing is that when I was growing up, you know, the people I looked up to in public life are those people who heroically stood up against the Goliaths in our society, the people who stood up against the crime and the corruption, the people who stood up against big entities which could harm the people. In this situation, where you have Trump having this inexplicable support, you have his base who are respecting Trump because they find a nobility in Trump's punching down, going after the poorest and the most powerless in our society. That, to me, is amazing, where in order to make sure that the poorest and the powerless among us don't get anything for free, that they will continue to support Trump regardless of his incompetence, his broken promises, his lies, the 8,700 lies and false statements that he's made since taking office, according to the Washington Post. I mean, it's incredible the situation we find ourselves in, and now we have this huge series of threats from China, Russia, North Korea, as well as this very dangerous situation that's going on between India and Pakistan right now, which is a powder keg. It has been for a long time. By returning the shot-down pilot, I think Pakistan has taken the temperature down a little bit, but that situation over in India and Pakistan over the disputed territories in Kashmir, I mean, that could blow up at any second. And we need somebody who is responsible and somebody who is a statesman and somebody who's a leader and somebody who knows what measured strength is. You know, Donald Trump's an accomplished bully, but he's a shameless coward. And Mike Pence is his Bible-thumping stooge. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, these guys should be gone as soon as possible. And I say the key to this is going to be RICO. It's going to be the Racketeer Influence Corrupt Organizations Act, which are going to be employed by both Mueller's team and by the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York.
All right. As you can hear, Dan Moldea is not on the Trump train, but come Monday, we're slated to hear from Roy Fletcher, the noted political consultant who operates here locally, and he is an advocate of the President of the United States. Now, earlier, a listener says you noted that the Washington Post and New York Times are mainstream publications, and I would concur with you. I would even go farther than that. I would say they're the best newspapers in the world. But
I agree.
But the listener says many allegations by the president that fake news emanates from these entities, that those allegations have validity. Your response?
Well, there are no leaks coming out of the U.S. Attorney's Office for the Southern District of New York, and there's no leaks coming out of Mueller's office. Trump, you know, as soon as he opens up his mouth, it's 75-25 in favor of the fact that he's lying. So the information that's being derived by the newspapers is just reporters going out and doing good old-fashioned reporting. And I think that this is the golden age of investigative journalism right now, to tell you the truth. But to their credit, when the New York Times or the Washington Post get something wrong, they correct it. And to me, that's the key in journalism, is when you make a mistake, you admit the mistake and correct the record. Because, as you note, these are the best newspapers in the world, and they are the record to all intents and purposes. It's sort of history in real time. And as long as they continue to correct their mistakes, I think there is a nobility in the investigative journalism that's going on right now. Fake news is something that's the National Enquirer. Fake news is the Wall Street Journal editorial page. Fake news are the people who stand up with Trump regardless of everything, and have their alternative facts, as Kellyanne Conway would say.
Mark on Highland. Mark, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Dan Moldea. Hi, Mark.
Hey, I'll tell you why Trump has a base of support. They fear the alternative. They don't want to give everybody free medical care. Where did they ever come up with that idea? Free food, free money, whether you care to work or not.
All right.
I don't think they're Democrat support, to tell you the truth. I think there's the responsible ones. Me, I'm a centrist. I believe that you run from the center and you govern from the center. To me, that's where you could get consensus. To me, government is about consensus. I've lived here in Washington for 43 years now, I guess. And I have friends both on the left and the right, Republicans and Democrats. And what I find is when you're standing in the center, that's the place where you can get agreements.
All right.
When you're going far off to the left, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. Dan and I actually got together a few days ago in Washington, and the next day I visited with a top Republican strategist who, of course, it was an off-the-record conversation, so I'm not going to say his name, but he said the race in 2020 will come down to our crazy versus their crazy.
Well said, yeah.
Well, if that's the case, then I would think the president could be reelected.
I think if the Democrats overplay their hand and go so far to the left, not that I mean, I would love to see Medicare for everybody. I would love to see it. I would love to see everyone be able to go to college for free. But you have to be able to pass things. You have to be able to come to some consensus in government in order to get these things passed. To demand them is you're just going to go nowhere with this. And there is no chance in the world we're going to get Medicare for everybody. There's just no chance in the world.
877-217-5757. We have some more time with the seasoned and accomplished investigative reporter, Dan Moldea. He's the man who broke the story about David Vitter in prostitutes, the man who broke the story about Bob Livingston in adultery. He's back to talk more about what's happening today. 877-217-5757. Back in a moment. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. 877-217-5757 on day 770 of the presidency of Donald John Trump, who has at least 22 months and about 20 days to go, and he could have, if things go according to the president's plan, 70 months remaining in office. And I noted Dan Moldea, I guess, our guest, has changed the political trajectory of some Louisiana luminaries, including Bob Livingston, who was on the brink of becoming Speaker of the House back in 1998. And he ended up resigning when Dan found news that Mr. Livingston was having an affair or had an affair, and he talked with the woman who was involved. Bob Livingston resigned. He was on this show and talked about that, said he was Larry Flinted. And I understand that after that unfortunate calamity for Congressman Livingston, that you got a Christmas card from the Clintons.
A year later. I had been hired to go after people. I had been hired by the Flynn operation to go after people who were Republicans or other Democrats who were going after the president. It was a hypocrisy campaign. And, I mean, we were a bunch of sinners in the Flynn shop. And we were going after those who were demanding, who were accusing the president of President Clinton of reprehensible behavior when they themselves were engaged in it. As you noted, Newt Gingrich was one of the people on my plate. He had called the president a misogynist, and here he is, with this young woman who was a secretary in Congress in Gunderson's office, and I had found that out in the midst. So we were going to expose that, but Gingrich was already gone, so we were happy to take censure for Clinton, and then Livingston doubles down on this, and he says, no, we're going for the whole Megillah. We're going to go for impeachment and removal. And so Flynn said to me, go get him. So I did, and I did talk to this woman. The woman is a woman of high integrity. I had, as you may or may not remember, that there was $1 million reward up. I offered $1 million, and she refused. This was, as far as she was concerned, this was a patriotic thing that she was doing, that this was, she thought the Republicans had gone over the top and overplayed their hands. And
all right, we are going to get to a few calls for Dan Moldea, maybe more than a few, but Calista Gingrich, by the way, the woman with whom Newt was having the affair, his third wife, is now the ambassador to the Vatican. 877-217-5757. Gustavo on Goodwood. Gustavo, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Dan Moldea.
I hope you indulge me so I can finish what I have to say. First of all, what do Vitter and Livingston have in common?
Well, they have a lot in common.
They were Republicans, right? Mr.
Well, they have. They're both men. They're both white. They both represented the same district. They have a lot in common that goes beyond their party affiliation. They're both from Louisiana.
I agree, but Mr. Dan seems to focus more on Republicans than anybody else. Nevertheless, he's praising the Washington
Democrats.
Post.
You don't find a lot of Democrats who are going after people based on their personal sex lives.
May I finish, please?
Sure, Gustavo. Go ahead.
The Washington Post was just now recently sued for $250 million for defamation and libel statements against a kid out of Covington High School in Kentucky. There was never a retraction. There was never an apology for them. So the fact that you're saying that they apologize, that's not true. They don't retract hardly anything of the fake news that they report. And I have much more to say, but I'll leave it at that.
Okay.
$250 million lawsuit. How do you respond to that, Mr. Dan?
What lawsuit?
This is the kid who got in the face of the Indian where he was trying. He says he was showing respect, and the newspaper's early reports was that he was defying this guy and harassing him. And to my knowledge, I'm under the impression that there have been a lot of retractions that have been made about that. A lot of clarifications. It's been big news. This isn't fake news where these people have covered it up. These people have made a mistake, and they have corrected their mistake. The problem with newspapers, and you're talking to the guy who sued the New York Times for libel in a case lasted longer than World War II. That was Modea v. New York Times. It was over a lying review that the New York Times had written about my book on pro football and the mafia in 1989, in which we had the case won, and then the very complicated story, but Circuit Court of Appeals for the D.C. Circuit came and took what was our apparent victory away from us. Anyway, my position was to take opinion writers and hold them to the same standards as news reporters. And I think one of the biggest problems in journalism right now is the blurring of the line between opinion and news. And because when you have that, you have a lot of mistakes. And with regard to opinion, the bad decision came out in our case was that that opinion writers are not held to the same standard as news reporters.
All right. Well, Dan, before we go to a few more calls, Justice Clarence Thomas this week is calling for the Supreme Court to reconsider New York Times versus Sullivan, the landmark 1964 ruling interpreting the First Amendment to make it hard for public officials to prevail in lawsuits. What do you make of this?
Right. The standard is reckless and malice. It's establishing the person's a public figure. And when a person is established to be a public figure under New York Times v. Sullivan, then the plaintiff in the case in the libel suit is going to have to show recklessness and malice, intentional. Basically, I think that if a reporter goes after somebody intentionally and intentionally lies about them and creates, to me, I think that should be a felony, tell you the truth.
All right, and L.B. Sullivan's, one of his attorneys was none other than Richard Nixon. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have to tell you, I am so relieved to find out that the Republicans...
All right, Phil, you're fading on us. Can you try again? You're relieved about what?
Well, the voter fraud in North Carolina.
All right, he mentioned voter fraud in North Carolina. That's a case that involves a congressional seat that has not been filled, and there is a legitimate case there, but I don't know that it was a widespread conspiracy involving the entire Republican Party, Phil, but Dan, what are your thoughts?
From what I understand, it was a bipartisan a board of elections that ended up exposing this. It was both sides who realized that there was an issue about the guy who had been hired, and now the Republican who had appeared to have won the election has withdrawn from this re-election that's coming up, this re-vote. And that's my understanding of it. So once again, you know, the system works. Let it play out, full disclosure, and when the system is allowed to work, it works.
Well, yesterday one of the people mentioned was none other than Baton Rouge's own Stormy Daniels, perhaps the most famous Baton Rougean. She was paid off by the president to stay silent about either a relationship or an allegation. It's hard to imagine that you would pay somebody $130,000 for an untrue allegation, but that's what the president says he did. He also paid Mr. Cohen a $60,000 bonus for getting rid of Stormy Daniels. But this could raise doubts about disclosure forms and could put the president in some legal jeopardy. Do you think it's going to play out in that way, or is this just another one of those things that kind of goes by the wayside?
Well, among the shameless Republicans where, you know, Trump can shoot somebody right in the middle of Fifth Avenue and get away with it, you know, I really don't think so. I mean, Bill Clinton, in order to protect, you know, all the obvious, the family and everything else. He lied about a sexual encounter he had with Monica Lewinsky. And for the Republicans, that was enough to put the country through a nightmare, to go through the impeachment process, which is an indictment, to go through the Senate trial, after which, you know, Clinton was acquitted. This guy, Trump, can do anything. And it becomes a new normal. It's, you know, but I'm sure the Republicans will regain their footing, their morality. They'll regain their belief in being against deficit spending and everything else once a Democrat takes power again.
All right. Well, Dan Moldea, we do have to roll, but it is always a pleasure to visit with you, and we'll be calling again soon. It is always an interesting world. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Thank you.